Welcome back here with Dave Popowich on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Now, we've been joined and continue to be joined by Dr. Robert Bell, who's a professor emeritus, Department of Surgery at the University of Toronto, also former Deputy Minister of Health for Ontario, and the former CEO of the University of Health Network. Bob, thanks for sticking around, first of all. We finished with a good sort of review of some of the strengths and weaknesses and of the Canadian healthcare system in general. I'd like to maybe just start this section with a focus on seniors. And maybe you can just address for me what you think the biggest issues, concerns, healthcare concerns will be for seniors as we age as Canadians.
Yeah, Dave, thanks. I mean, we start off with a premise that never before in Canadian history have so many people have been aging. And, you know, the fastest growing demographic group in Canada is people over the age of 100. Isn't that extraordinary, you know? And we also have to remember that people are healthier much longer. So, you know, this concept that Canadians are living longer, that's always posed as a threat to the success of our healthcare system. Well, they're living longer, but they're also spending more of that time healthy, not requiring care. But let's face it, eventually people will start to become frail. And the biggest concern that strikes people is they may even become demented. They may start to lose their cognitive abilities. And how we care for people who are approaching frailty, who are losing cognitive strength, is an important part of planning the challenge of the healthcare services that we need for the future. You know, the one thing that the pandemic emphasized is something that I've known for a long time, formerly as deputy minister, and that is if you ask seniors how they want to live their last years of life, the one thing you hear is they want to be as independent as possible and they want to live in their own home. They don't want to be in someone else's home. They don't want to have to go into a nursing home. And that's something, especially after the pandemic, especially with the stories coming out of central Canada, in Ontario and Quebec, of people literally being captive in their homes for months at a time because of the pandemic. Well, it's just increased that sense that people have. They want to stay in their home. So if we're thinking about a national senior strategy, and I really refer your listeners to the National Institute of Aging, which is an organization at Ryerson. They can find it on the website. You may want to post the website for the National Institute of Aging on your website, Dave, has developed the concept of a national senior strategy that needs to start with the resources that people need to have to stay in their own homes. And that starts off with home care. With, you know, as they become more frail, as they need help in maintaining their hygiene, ensuring that their medications are being taken properly, ensuring that they're eating properly, we need people coming into seniors' homes to help them stay independent. And that concept of home care is something that has not been part of our Canada Health Act. It's not something that we've focused on as part of medically necessary care. And that needs to change across the country. We need better ways of providing home care. One of the interesting things that we've noticed here in Toronto is the concept of vertical aging that people are following. And this is something that's happened spontaneously, but researchers in Toronto have noticed that an increasing number of high-rise apartment buildings are being occupied, whether they're low-income Toronto community housing or whether they're high-income Bay Street and waterfront condominiums are being occupied by seniors. People who have downsized from their homes, you know, they've sold their homes or they've moved from single family homes into apartments because they didn't want to use the stairs. They no longer could get down to the basement safely, and they've moved into apartment buildings. And, you know, there are over 500 apartment buildings in Ontario or in Toronto alone that have over 30% seniors living in them. This offers us tremendous opportunity to refocus the way we provide seniors with independence by saying we can provide home care a lot more efficiently if we're thinking about the needs of people living in one building, as opposed to thinking about people scattered across a map. This is something that's called naturally occurring retirement communities, or NORCs. And, you know, we think, and we've written about this in the Globe and Mail, that this is something the governments need to recognize as a huge opportunity for providing services that keep seniors independent faster, better, and more cost effectively. We think it's a real trend.
Yeah, that makes a lot of good sense. Now, you've cited, as I recall, Ontario and Quebec did have a heck of a problem with that seniors community in the long-term retirement care. I don't think it was quite as bad out west. And are you seeing, so when we talk nationally, do you see the same problems, Bob, nationally across the whole country? I'm sure probably directionally you do, but are there any differences out west versus what we're seeing out east?
Well, the advantage that Alberta and British Columbia had, Saskatchewan, during the course of the pandemic was your long-term care nursing homes were more modern. They were built earlier. The ones in Quebec and Ontario were started to be built in the 70s. So, you know, they were 50 years old, and the model then had more than two people in a single room. So as you might imagine, Dave, when COVID-19 arrived in those homes, it just ran rampant because people were breathing the same air. Whereas the modern designs that were used in Alberta, BC, simply because they were more modern facilities built later because of your different demographic in terms of aging, provided people with more protection against airborne spread of the virus.
The healthcare system, Bob, is a big beast, right? We know provincially, federally, trying to get everybody to work together. It's just a big beast. What changes, what has to happen for some of these changes to take place? I mean, the population, as you said, is rapidly aging. Are we going to be able to, on a provincial and national basis, keep up with those changes and implement some of these things that you're talking about in time?
Well, you know, these things are not rocket science that we've suggested. You know, there's a huge waiting list for surgery, for example, Dave, resulting from the pandemic. Well, we know from experience in Canada and around the rest of the world that if you actually move surgeries out of hospital into dedicated surgery facilities in the community, that you can do 30% more care per day for the same amount of time in the operating room. I mean, that's not a tough one. There's all kinds of real estate available, commercial real estate available, where we could be building cost-effective community surgery centers. The Jimmy Pattison Center in British Columbia has demonstrated this. In Alberta, people are moving to community surgery centers. I disagree with the concept of them being for-profit, but certainly this move will improve the efficiency and cost of providing surgery. You know, moving patients to a specialist. Well, most of this is done by fax today across the country, which is amazing. It's the only thing that happens by fax in Canada today, is getting your consultation request to a specialist. Well, you know, that can be done readily by something called e-referral that sends your referral by a background algorithm to the appropriate specialist that has the shortest waiting time. Faster, better, cheaper. Also providing us with information about where the backlogs are in the system that we don't simply have today. There are a bunch of straightforward, simple things that we've described in this series of articles in the Globe and Mail that can make our system more responsive to the needs of Canadians and also reduce the burden on the taxpayer.
I think everything that I've read in those articles, everything you said today makes a lot of sense. The question is, are you seeing any evidence that these things that we are starting to adopt some of these, you know, even the simplest approaches to try to improve the efficiency of the system and get better access, in your opinion? Are we seeing any of that movement?
Yeah, it's happening, but it's happening slowly. And our hope was, by putting these articles out there and by having conversations with folks like yourself, was we would, you know, say to Canadians, look, there's stuff that can be done, people. There's stuff that can be done that makes our system faster, better, more cost-effective, smarter. Why aren't you asking your politicians, asking your healthcare administrators? You know, ask them, why aren't we doing e-referral now? Why is the fax still king in referring me to a specialist? Doesn't make sense. Needs to be changed.
Well, listen, Bob, I think you and your colleagues have done a great service. Thanks for your advocacy in this area. I encourage all of our listeners and viewers to contact their MPs. This is, Again, there's a lot of ideas. We've talked over the years about things. Too many committees get formed. We need to get action on some of these things, right? And even if it's the smallest things, make some progress. Thank you to you for joining me, to the whole group that participated in putting these articles together. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dave. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Been joined by Dr. Robert Bell, who's a professor emeritus, Department of Surgery at the University of Toronto, former Deputy Minister of the of Health for Ontario and the former CEO of the University of Health Network. Listen, this entire experience of aging and retiring is not just financial. It is clearly going to be about healthcare. And we've got things that we need to do from a healthcare system, and you and I can vote on those to exert pressure to make these things happen. Some of it's preventative. We're going to talk about that next. Some of it is reactive. We need the healthcare system accessible to us when we need it. All of these things build a good quality of life that we want, and to a large degree that we have in Canada. But we got to put it all together in a plan, and we're going to do that at our upcoming seminar. And I invite you to join us on Tuesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. It'll be online, and you can join us or you register for the event at morethanmoneyradio.com. Stick around after the break because we want to talk about how to be preventative from a healthcare perspective as well, so that you can have the highest quality of life in retirement. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.